Here we go. Oh my God. This might be one of my most excited episodes ever. Dude, I got the boy here, Mr. Cowboy himself, as you can tell, with the 10-gallon hat. Come on.
Ding.
Come on, Mr. Shad Hep, ladies and
Oh yeah.
gentlemen. Dude, it is so good to see your cowboy ass on the other side of me on this screen, dude. How are you? I know we just caught up, but how are you doing?
Oh, like I said, good man. Just here in Wyoming, it's starting to look like winter. It's finally getting snowy and cold out. So,
Right?
yeah, just doing good, same old stuff. Just trying to play cowboy, I guess.
Dude, yes, it's so kind of go into that a little bit when we met, and you can kind of break down. It's gonna be so fun to hear your side of the story when we met, because we're like very similar people, like as we like you and I are very fun, very like high energy human beings, like to go out and find trouble and have a good time. But just
Oh,
like who
couldn't
we
have grew up more different.
I was just gonna say, could not be more polar opposite how we grew up. So I just want you to, if you just wanna, however you wanna start, if you wanna break down, just kind of how you grew up and just like where you're at now with all the cowboying and stuff, and then whatever you wanna bullshit and talk about firewise, I'd love for you to be tell a story about when you first saw me. And then like how that kind of developed into the friendship that we still have today, all these years later.
All right, man. Well, I grew up on a, it was a cow calf operation east of Buffalo, Wyoming, and worked there for my whole life. I mean, from the time I was out of diapers, I was driving around in pickups and everything like that with my grandpa.
Right.
Then he passed away in 2011, and then we kind of, me and my three cousins that grew up in the same house had to go kind of find our own deal. So we took off and just started hunting cowboy jobs, and I wasn't making enough money, so I got into fighting fire.
Right,
And
which I don't know why of all things you jumped into was that.
the thrill, man. Like
Yeah.
I couldn't get on bucking horses anymore, so running into a burning forest is the next best, you know?
Right.
So yeah, that and then I did that for a couple of years, went everywhere. You know how that world is, you go
Right.
all over.
Right.
And then stumbled into Casper BLM's office, and that would lead me about to where you and me meet. And then, yeah, all I really remember about me seeing you for the first time is I wanted to punch you more than I've ever wanted to punch anybody in my life. Six and a half mile run the first day we're there, and I walked back in the shop, and here's this yoked bastard from Chicago sitting in there, not even sweaty.
Dude, yeah, it was one of those. It's so funny when we talk, because we were just bullshitting the other day talking about that same story, and we were dying laughing because I wasn't able to, because of my I got flagged for my anxiety medication and then my asthma. So I wasn't fully medically cleared, which was so annoying. And then on top of that, I had to finish whatever those stupid like basic classes were online before we started. And you know, me being a
Yeah.
smart, I thought I could just do them last minute the weekend before we started, but because I wasn't and I was able I would have been able to get them done. But I wasn't realizing that I was trying to do them on my old MacBook, and it wasn't like complying through Safari with the Mac.
Oh,
So
no.
I was going through these entire classes basically within like 2 hours, and it wasn't logging any of the progress. So I was like, oh, this is sick. So I think I took like the Fireground like basics class or whatever, like the very first, I think I took that 3 times.
Oh man.
It
Yeah,
was so brutal, dude. It couldn't get cleared. And so you and everybody that I walked in with your shit kickers and your huge belt buckles and your massive cowboy hats, I was like, I already shouldn't be here. And I was like, and on top of that, these guys fucking hate my guts.
It wasn't your fault, dude. I was just grumpy. I was never much of a runner, you know?
No, dude, terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, awful. There's very few people that are worse than me at running.
No, yeah, we fucking hated it. But yeah, you had your own. You were a whole different breed of this running shit is terrible. But they also
I grew up riding things with 4 feet. My two don't make it anywhere near as fast as they do.
No, if we're being real, we probably should have just developed a new strategy of running on all fours. If we were being honest, I would just need a special pair of gloves that aren't going to wear out so you don't burn through your hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That was the alternative to calling in sick, dude. If I would have called in sick, I would have just done that.
Right. But yeah, dude. So go into, so obviously you and I think the entire crew hated my guts from the start. And then, but then if you just want to just keep going in and just developing like how you and I eventually like, kind of figured out like, oh, like me and this guy are pretty identical besides how we grew up. And then like, yeah. You and I were running around doing some bullshit throughout that year. We were doing whatever. We weren't telling anybody what we were doing, and we were out till God knows what time doing whatever. And then we still had to be at work the next day, coming in hungover as shit. But and then we had a fucking fun year together, dude. We had a blast, and we developed like a very true and genuine friendship off of two people that have like polar opposite backgrounds. But yeah, if you just want to go into more of that and just bullshit, and we can just bullshit and tell some stories about some of the shit that you and me were running around having fun doing while we were out there.
Yeah. So I talked to you that first day, and then like we got along. It was, you know, just kind of casual conversation. Right. And then we got stuck on the same crew, old 2401. And it was me and you and the only other real cowboy in the deal, Thane.
Yep.
And then Chase and Nate. And somehow my country bumpkin ass got put on the only truck in that whole station that knew how to run. Everyone could run except me.
Yep.
So then, yeah, I mean, we ran around Casper. Like, both of us were always looking for something to do, so we just did it together.
Right, right.
And I mean, there wasn't a bar safe or nothing. Like, we went crazy.
Dude, yeah. Do you remember both. when we ran to the carnival that one night?
Yeah.
We sat in your truck in the parking lot of that fair and pounded like a 12 pack before walking in there, and then rode rides and shit and met up with God knows who. I don't even know what time we ended up getting back. We went back and stayed at your place and we kept drinking until like 3 that morning. It had to be up at like 6 for work.
Yeah, I think 3 is pretty, like, you're being generous. But yeah, we had to be up at 6 the next day and then right back to it.
Yeah, and then God knows. And of course, it was one of those nights where I think like you could just tell that me and you didn't exactly just keep it chill and go to sleep. That night. And so I think Thane kind of fed off of that energy and was like, how can I make their day as miserable as possible?
Absolutely.
And so then you and I just keep like throughout the whole day, we probably looked like such bags of shit walking in there too.
Oh, I'm sure.
And you and I just kept giving each other the looks of just like the,
I'm gonna vomit.
They're gonna see me projectile vomit here.
You remember that day we were going over the heavy before we went to that training, and you were in the top upside down and you had your head in there checking the deal for the pump, and I hit the primer button.
Oh my fucking God. And it was just loud as shit. I thought I got shot. I thought I got shot that day. But that's actually, it's funny that kind of going off of that. So that first day was so terrible because like I relied so heavily on like, well, one, I knew I was going to get close to you guys like personality wise. I just didn't know when that was going to happen. But because obviously like a lot of you guys already knew each other. So like I for the first time, like in my life at, I think I was 23 when I moved out there. So for the first time, it was the first time in my life where I felt so alienated. You know, like I'm normally the guy like that lights up the room, brings the personality, like makes other people feel included. It was a real shock, but like such a like a real learning experience to throw myself in that environment. Because like, you know me, dude, I'm so happy that's a part of my story. And like the fact that you and I are still so close and like me even going out there, that was such a like the fact that I even took the risk to go do that in Wyoming of all places. I'm the polar opposite of a cowboy.
Yeah.
You know, look at what I'm wearing right now, dude. Got the got the Share merch shirt on, dude, with the vest. Got the LA Carhartt collab hat on, dude.
Bro.
With some sweatpants. But I mean, look at Tombstone though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's from Wyoming. Yeah, you were there.
So I was one of those four there while I was out there, dude. So what more do you want from me? I'm a real cowboy, dude.
Just don't be Doc Holliday. He kicks the bucket, bro.
Well, that's actually funny that you say that, because that's my roommate. He claims to be Doc Holliday. I'm more of like a Wyatt Earp kind of vibe. So yeah, it's like
good pick.
Right.
Good pick.
So, and I didn't even pick that. That was what he chose for me. So I'll take it, especially if that's what you're saying. But it was that was hard, because, and I'm sure you guys kind of felt it too, because that first day was terrible because I couldn't do anything. And then I think it drug on throughout that whole week that I still wasn't cleared and then still wasn't finishing those classes. And I remember, like, I think, like, I was starting to break down mentally because I almost got sent to I was either going to get sent home, or they probably would have just sent me to dispatch, honestly, which that would have made the experience there, you know. I still would have had a good time in dispatch with those people, but that would have derailed everything for me, because I would have never gotten close to you guys. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. And, anyone that go to KC and cut with us and accidentally call 911 and all that junk.
Yeah, we'll definitely tell that story too. and that week drug on, and then I still wasn't cleared. And I remember I finally figured out what the deal was with the class shit online. And so I came in that next day after you guys worked out again without me. So I felt like the only thing that I could bring to the table until I developed a relationship was like my physicality. That was the only thing that I had. I was like, all right, I'm going to prove to these guys that I can do this. You know what I mean? Like that I'm an asset to this team. Yeah. And I couldn't do that yet. And then that one day I came, probably like the third or fourth day, not to mention I was late like the second day, because I left early, and then no one told me that we were starting a half hour earlier. So Nate wanted to kill me. And then so that was even worse, because I was like the guy he vouched for. So I maybe looked like an even bigger jackass. And then that whole week drug on, and I finally got cleared. And I remember I did the pack test with Thane.
Yeah.
But you guys went and ran. Thane and I did the pack test, and that's when him and I, which I mean, for those of you that don't know what the pack test is, it's easy, but still annoyingly, like weirdly hard. Cause you gotta walk. You're supposed to walk the whole time, and you gotta do it with what, 3 miles within 45 minutes or something like that?
Yeah, and a 45-pound vest.
Yeah, and you gotta have a 45-pound vest on, which is supposed to simulate you hiking with your gear on. So it's like, so it's not really that hard of a test, but like if you stop moving, like it kills your momentum, and it's hard to start that back up again. And it's one of those things where if you're not constantly moving the whole time, you could easily like drop behind and not pass it. So as long as you don't stop moving, it's pretty doable. But so once we did that and I finally got cleared and passed those tests, I pulled like basically two all nighters back to back, and I didn't stay up the full 48 hours. Obviously I napped like here and there, but I had to stay up until like 2 or 3 in the morning, two nights in a row, to finish those stupid fucking classes. And then the breakout day, cause like that's, you guys were still giving me shit, cause I was so reserved and still like didn't feel like I was proven at all. So I was so much more of a reserved version of myself, where I wasn't saying shit. I wasn't even like chiming in on conversation. Like you guys were all giving me shit. Like I wouldn't even say anything during conversation. All you guys would be like, Drake, you should probably shut up, or you should stop talking. That was like what you guys were all saying to me like those first 2 weeks, because I wasn't saying a word. And so like that was starting to get a good laugh. And the breakout day was, I think we played soccer that very first weekend or something like that. And we were playing the seasonal against the Perms, and me and you tore them apart.
Yeah, every one of them, we made them our bitch.
Yeah, we sure tore them apart. That was like, and because that was, I don't think I said a word that entire soccer game either. It was just like,
oh, I just,
you were talking shit to, before yeah. we started.
It didn't matter, dude. I was telling everybody. Yeah. I definitely talked. You didn't say shit, but I was talking enough for both of
them. Right. And that was the funniest thing, because it was like, that was one of those big things where it's one of those things too where it makes me wish so badly, but at the same time, I'm kind of glad we didn't meet until later. You and me like immediately created like, I wish we played like football together on the same team type of bond.
Oh,
you know yeah. what I mean? Like right away, I was like, because we were back and forth and we scored, like it was me and you that were scoring all over them that entire game. And that was the first time that I felt like I actually belonged, was that day. Because I just was like, okay, finally, yeah. even if I'm not worth a shit at firefighting or at doing the physical work for the workouts, at least they're going to want me on their fucking soccer team on the weekends. You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah. well, I was like, thank God.
We'd never played together before.
No. And it was like that connection was like right immediately. It was like so much. I felt like we were Messi and whoever his fucking number two was right there that whole time. Like it was the back and forth. We were passing all over him, scoring all over him. And then it took off from there. And then like right after that, I think it was then shortly after was when we had the first cutting project up on. Was that up on Casper Mountain somewhere? Or was that? Yeah,
we went to Newcastle first. Do you remember?
Is that the first? Was that the first place that we did? Talk about that trip a little bit.
Oh, I don't know if I remember a bunch of it. I remember the hotel.
Shorts are still wet.
That part mostly. we went to Newcastle, Wyoming, on a cutting project for the BLM, and
kind of break down to anyone listening to like what like our cutting projects like kind of consist of.
Yeah, so a cutting project could be anywhere from like complete to taking out all the trees to just like thinning them up and taking out a certain diameter of trees. They have all kinds of regulations for it, but all the ones we did that year were like 10-inch DBH, which is diameter at breast trees. So we're cut down every tree underneath that diameter. And the reason you do it is for fire mitigation and like on roads so you can see around turns and see vehicles coming. So it's safety stuff that the BLM and state crews go in and manage so that other people don't have to.
And I want to chime in and I want to add in, these projects suck.
Yeah, they kind of suck.
They are brutal. Like some are definitely easier and more fun than others, but I mean, we were so dead that year and we weren't expecting to be, because like, I remember that whole year we were there, they kept talking about how Casper was going to blow up. You know what I mean? Like Wyoming was going to blow, like the country was just waiting to pop off. And our whole district was so dead that whole year. But then, we'll go out there and we'll stay for like a week at a time. And so, just break down kind of how that, like how those trips kind of go.
Yeah, so you get ordered and you cut all day. You're usually up in the dark and you're running up like a steel 420 chainsaw, so they weigh like 50 pounds a piece, and sharpening your own blade with a stupid round file. We didn't get to pack those nice automatic chainsaw sharpeners with us, but you're lumping the saw around all day, cutting trees down, stacking them up, and like you would pair up. So Drake and I would pair up a lot. And one person would cut and the other guy would move all the stuff, and you'd make like 10-foot piles and pile it all up. But yeah, I think we were eating breakfast at like 5:30 or 6, and then you'd eat lunch on the hill. You wouldn't come in for lunch. And then I think in Newcastle, I think we were eating dinner at like 7:30, weren't we?
Yeah. And I think the Newcastle trip was weird because, most days, I know we got out real early one day because of storms, but other than that, I mean, yeah, it really, like, that trip wasn't as terrible as I was expecting. And then we had, normally we spike out, we camp.
Yeah.
Or like, not necessarily like really spiking out, but we have a legit like campsite that we return to and then like legit our camping. But Newcastle was nice because we would come back off the hill and go to our hotel, which had a hot tub, a restaurant with, you know, actual like hot food that like we weren't making ourselves, and
and beer. I had beer.
That's right. That's right. They did have beer. We were able to, because we were done with work for the day, so we were able to have a couple brews each night, which was awesome. But yeah, other than that, dude, it was Newcastle was a blessing. But that was such a good time. Like, it is honestly, it's you can't you have to go. Like, I kind of want to talk more about just like, because fire is, I've talked about it on here, and obviously you've done it for multiple years. You have to. A lot of people, I don't think, can handle the grind of that season. Like, it is just so, like, it is something that is so like not normal.
Yeah.
Like, to where I remember, because like when you're cutting, like even when you get off the hill, you still hear chainsaws revving, like in your, like you hear it all fucking day long.
Yeah, dude.
And you can't, and we can't wear headphones with, it'd be a whole different story if we could put like AirPods in and play music or something, like, or listen to a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
That, but would change each other too.
Right. So yeah. You constantly got to be communicating. Like, him and I were like, basically this is him right in front of me. I'm like right here next to him for 12 hours a day. Like, and while he's cutting, like put my hand on his shoulder, like make sure he takes a step back. Come in and grab, but other than that, you're just hearing chainsaws rev, and you have to get into such a, now obviously that's different than, way more fun fighting fire, obviously. I think we're both in like 100% agreement on that, but that work is like so necessary, and they pre-plan this stuff out like before the year even starts. So like, if you have any downtime and you're, they don't want you just sitting at the station, they're like, all right, go fucking do this shit that we're supposed to get done. But you gotta get into a whole different, you got to get into a whole different mode to be able to do that, because you'll lose your mind. I remember some days just like all you hear is just chainsaws revving for 12 hours straight for a day, basically. Like, it is not, just go into kind of like your mindset and what were some of the things that kind of like helped you. Cause you, I remember, it's so weird even thinking about that now. Cause that time that we were going through that and that season, like, you were in a whole different relationship at that time, and seeing like how easy it is, seeing how easy it is for that to come in between two people, just with how much of a nightmare the schedule is. Like, I guess just go into like your mindset and just like how you were able to kind of battle through stuff. Cause like, obviously you've been someone that I've always looked up to, just like your work ethic, but like you were able to do like work so hard and be so good at the job. But also I think you and I, not like, I'm not another thing where I'm thinking that I'm like the guy or whatever, but our dynamic at work kept the energy level so high and the morale so high to where like, oh, yeah, it was helping the entire crew get through, because you and me were being so dumb and stupid the whole year. Like, everywhere we were, I was like, whoever is with us is going to be better, just because like, we're going to make them chuckle a couple times throughout the day. You know what I mean? Yep. So just go into that. And then obviously, yeah, like talk about more of our dynamic too. Cause I think that year that we were together was probably one of the better years for Casper BLM, just because of the energy that you and me brought every single day to work. Did not matter what we were going through. You and I were there to pick each other up the entire time. Cause it was like, if you and me didn't bring it energy wise, like, there was a few people that could fill in, but not like how you and I were bringing it to the table. Like, not at all.
Yeah. So first of all, let me talk about this. I think that summer, it was the best summer I've ever had fighting fire, like funnest for sure. But neither one of us, like you or me, were in a good place, like emotionally.
No, at all. No. Like, that's the worst thing to work that job and to not be in a good mental state. Like, I'll be an advocate for that 10 times out of 10 all the time. It is, if you're not in a good mental state, that's one of the worst jobs that you could probably have ever.
And like, dangerous. Like,
you could die at any point.
If you're on fire and you're fucked off, thinking about what's going on at home.
Right.
Like, that's bad news.
Right.
You got to figure out how to like push that stuff to the side and get your head in the game. I know that's an old quote, but it's literal, man. But I was in a extremely toxic relationship. Not her fault, not my fault, just together we were like fire and gasoline, man. Not
Right.
good.
Right.
But like when we got to spend a bunch of time together, it wasn't bad. But like when we were gone for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, when we went to Nevada is what
3 week
finally.
roll, dude. God.
Yeah. And like she wouldn't even talk to me when we got home, which thank the good Lord, because I never would have got to where I am in life right now if that didn't happen. So
Right.
now looking back, very happy about it. But anyways, like talking about like our dynamic and Nevada, let me go to that real fast.
Right.
We got ordered for like a pre-position placement in Battle Mountain, Nevada. And that just means that their temperatures are getting hot and fire watch is high. So they bring crews in to be ready for something that starts. So we got ordered on 2401. So it was me, Drake, Chase, and Nate Kirshner. Thane didn't make it. And that was when, like, I think our friendship was at like its best.
I think so too.
But staying in, if you folks haven't seen a desert, I know you live in Arizona, but go drive to freaking Battle Mountain, Nevada. There's nothing except a Maverick that got old after 3 days and a Chinese restaurant that makes you sick.
And then the sports bar that we went to almost every day for those 3 weeks.
That good at first though.
It was good for the first 3 days, not the next, 20. You know
Yeah.
what I mean?
But we got there and spent like 3 days there, and then we went on that fire that we stayed up for 39 hours straight. And
That was next
like
level terrible.
that's the first time that like I really noticed like us being complete and utter jackasses making something possible. Like
Right.
Nate and we were all so freaking miserable and tired and dusty, and like we could not even remotely think straight. Like we were tired.
No.
And then I remember me and you got out of the engine when we were following those dozers at like hour 27, and I kicked you in the heel and you ate shit. Do you remember that?
I'm surprised I even got up. I should have
And
just laid
that was
there.
like,
I could have passed out right when I hit the ground.
but everybody like died laughing.
That was kind of like that was like the Gatorade slam that we all needed right there at going into the fourth quarter. Like, 'cause I mean, we were down bad. And then if you want to
Yeah.
break down the night into the next day of those fires that we were on, 'cause that was a fucking nightmare. I mean, I had like, we were running on fumes that next morning, dude. None of us, all four of us didn't say a fucking word to each other for like hours,
Yeah, and
hours.
we got back in the engine at like 12:30, I think, from me and you spraying that one side of the fire. And then yeah, for the rest of the night we had to just drive around and look for hot spots and stuff, make sure it was out.
Terrible.
And like we did not talk. None of us talked. Like we were all falling asleep. It was a bad deal. And then the fire started back up in the morning, and me and you had to crawl back out of the stupid engine and get on the hoses again. And we busted hump for another like 4 hours, got that side knocked down. And then you remember Nate finally looked at us and was like, okay, you guys better catch a nap because who knows how long this is going to take.
Right.
So me and you crawled back in that stupid seat in the back of the heavy where you had to look in each other's eyeballs.
The amount of times that I stared across from you just like this in the back of that fucking engine that summer. Oh my God, dude.
Yeah, they could have gave you way better scenery, bro. Like, there was not much to look at back there.
Oh my God.
But we played a lot of tunes in the back of that heavy.
Oh, absolutely, dude. We bumped back there for sure.
But I don't know. It was like we were always just like we were always fucking with each other,
All
like
the whole time.
all the time. And I don't remember either of us ever getting mad.
No.
Like we might have pretended like we were mad, but like we
Never.
weren't.
No.
I remember Nate getting sick and tired of us a bunch
Yep.
of times.
Yep. That's normal though. We're like two of his sons, dude, just prodding at him. We poked him all summer. Just seeing how far we could get every single day at work until he started to kind of blow up a little bit.
And then we'd back off a little and give it a couple hours and start
Yep,
right back at
right
it.
back up, dude. This is what it was.
Yeah, all the time.
And then, so yeah, dude, and I remember, and I guess you can kind of break down what you were doing too, but I remember so that when we got ordered to Battle Mountain, we initially thought like, yeah, whatever, it's gonna be like a 2 week roll, like, okay, like nothing too crazy. Battle Mountain is not somewhere where you want to spend more than maybe 2 days and then be gone. Like not even like dissing Battle Mountain. Like the people that we met there were awesome. A lot of the different crews were awesome. A lot of the people from like their own crew were cool as shit too. Very like inclusive, like fun. But it's just one of those things where our every single day, you and me even took Heckam. We took a helicopter class while we were there because there was so much. It just didn't blow up like they were expecting it to. But honestly, it was a great paycheck for us because like you and me got to chill out and just like bullshit for a lot of that time too. And like so every single day we'd wake up at our hotel, get dressed, whatever, grab our Maverick in the morning, grab all of our stuff, head over, do our morning check on our engine, and then we'd work out, and then we'd get our workout done, which that we did not take it easy on ourselves at all that entire trip. And then we would see what they needed done for the day, and if we needed to go kind of like float outside and just like go kind of like check out some certain spots. And we never ran into anything while we went and did that. If we were leaving the fence, or if we were leaving the gate, it was usually because there was a fire. So it's like there really wasn't much like running around. But if we weren't chilling, yeah, we were just trying to keep each other like busy, keep each other occupied, just try not to lose our minds. Then we would usually get done around like 6 or 7. We'd get out of there, we'd go grab something to eat, and then go chill back at the hotel. And then you and me would just chill and watch like whatever was on TV before we both like passed out, and then do the same thing. And I remember I got to like, I could feel it coming, like as we were creeping into like getting close to like 2 weeks, where I was like, okay, like this is getting pretty like mundane now, like because we weren't seeing a lot of fire like we were thought we were going to while we were out there. And so I started to like kind of unravel a little bit. I remember like talking to you a little bit, talking to Chase. I think I called a few of my friends. And especially once we crossed the 2 week line, I was really starting to like kind of lose my marbles. And so I remember just being so down bad while I was out there. And it got to a point where like a little bit after a day or two after the 2 week mark, where I couldn't stand it anymore. And I just was like, I cannot wait to get the fuck out of here and go home. I don't know if you were probably dealing with a similar thing, especially like having a girlfriend back, like in the area, like in Casper, to where it's like, okay, like let's get out of here and let's go back so I can figure out like what the issues are here. But yeah, like I was losing it, and I could not wait to get the fuck out of there after like the second week, and it was just wearing on me so bad. Like my mental health was just declining more and more as we were there, up until finally after the 3 week mark, we caught a fire with 10 minutes left to go on our last shift, and we're out for a while that night. And then great trip and like legendary time that we got to spend together, those four of us together. Like I'll never forget that. That was unbelievable. But just to kind of like, I don't know how your mindset was like going through that whole trip, and just like how you were able to keep yourself in check from losing it. Cause we weren't able to like, we kept it like pretty professional and chill on our crew. But like we would see a lot of the forestry people out hanging out by the pool, having a couple beers, like bullshit. And I was like, damn, I was like, why can't that would be so much better for my mental if we could go out there and like sip a couple brews with them and bullshit until I went to sleep. You know what I mean? Like, and we weren't able to do that. And so it's like,
No, we couldn't because we were on call all the time. So
right.
we weren't, they wouldn't let us drink. And about my mental health, dude, it was in shambles like day nine.
Right.
Like, because we, like, I don't want to talk about it too much, but the girlfriend that I had, like, we broke up day seven in Nevada.
Terrible, terrible.
So I was 2 weeks out of even knowing what the heck was going on
Right.
with that deal. But I don't know. It's like it's a different kind of grind. Like you get so tired that like if you don't keep your mind in check, you will freaking go crazy.
Right.
And I don't know, a lot of it's probably like how I grew up. Not to like, I didn't grow up broke or like I wasn't in a bad home or anything, but like you were expected to get up every day and go to work. Like
Right.
from the time I was, I don't know, like seventh grade, man. Like we had chores and you had to go chop water and feed cows. And if you were tired, no one gave a shit.
No.
You went and did it.
And then, they still don't in cowboy stuff. Like cowboy, they don't give a fuck. Like that's a 365 day a year job. 24/7, man. Like
if your cows get out on Sunday, you're working on Sunday too, bud. Like that's just how it works.
Right.
And a little bit more about me, I guess. I moved out when I was like 14, moved into my own house, and it was a nasty windblown cabin on the mountain that in the winter you'd have snow in your living room. So like I don't know, I guess I was broke when I moved out by myself, like the definition of like, but I don't know. I knew my mom would always help if I asked for it. I was just too proud to ask. So I think like the way that that all went down helped me a lot with my mental health and all that. Like, we'll call it mental strength, I guess. Like just being able to be like, well, I'm tired, I'm sore, I'm soaking wet, I'm cold, but it's going to quit sometime.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
I think it's a huge testament to like, because even though like you, you're a few years younger than me, it was like you never carried yourself like that, or you know what I mean. Like it was, when I moved out there, you were someone that like I looked up to a lot just because of how like what you've been through and how you've carried yourself. So it was that like that whole attitude is something that I still carry with me today, because like regardless of whatever happens, because I see it now in a different light, where like being in like a bigger city area now, like I see all the homeless and like the drug addicts now, to where it's like, I know regardless of how bad and how down my situation is, like that is showing me like if my work ethic ever goes, that's what it's going to be, is right there. So it's like, I know it's terrible. And I hope like this whole area can get better at helping some of those people out and giving them the resources that they need. But it's one of those things where it's a very clear sign that shows me like that my work ethic is, I don't know where it's going to get me, but I know like regardless, I'll be able to make it in some, you know, some way, shape or form, yeah. You know what I mean? Cause like, I just like having the no quit attitude is huge. Cause like, I think a lot of us right now are in a situation where we wake up every day, not exactly doing something that we love, but if you keep putting your head down and working, like eventually something's going to turn out like in a way that you want it to, depending on how you use your time. And but just never be like never quitting, you know what I mean? Being down bad is normal, but never actually fully giving up. And so I know at least with me and with you, like the work ethic is always going to be something that's going to be able to pull me out of whatever I'm in, you know what I mean? So
that's the only thing that's got me anywhere in my life is working harder than like a lot of guys. Like I was naturally athletic. You look at my dad's body, you sure wouldn't think it, but I was an athlete, which is good. But I mean, I had to work harder than a lot of people, even in high school. Like,
right.
I wouldn't have started varsity as a freshman if I didn't bust my balls, you know?
Right. It wasn't just handed to you, especially out there. You know what I mean? Like Wyoming is a whole, I've noticed it is just a whole different breed of toughness out there with just the weather.
Yeah, you know
what I mean, cold, like man. You're like so cowboy. It is, you see it in the movies, but like go into like how I remember snapping you over this last winter, and it was like negative 30 fucking degrees out there, and you're snapping me like covered in, it's like a foot and a half of snow, like you can't even open your eyes. The wind's blowing so hard, like. Go into some of that, like what, like weather wise, what you've had to deal with and what you've had to like get done and do in that weather.
Well, it's everything, man. Like last winter, we were living up in like by Havre, Montana. So that's 30 miles south of the Canadian border for people that don't know where that is. It's way north. And I was starting a bunch of colts, and colts are horses that aren't educated. Like they buck and stuff, and you got to train them and do all that. But I remember snapping you and it was negative 30 and we were calving. So like I would go get on a horse, bundle up as much as you could and go ride through cows and pull calves out of snowbanks. And we had a sled, like your kids ride. And you'd pull that with your horse and put as many calves as you needed to on it and pull them back to the shop. And I'd light a propane heater and put it in the center of the shop and lay the calves around the heater so they could warm up.
Right.
And then
Because if you don't warm them up, they'll die, right? And that's
they'll
usually
freak,
that
they'll
happens.
freak.
That happens a ton over the winter time, right?
Yeah. So then you'd put them back on the sled when they had to get up and they had to suck. So you had to give them some food and through a bottle or whatever they drink out of. If they don't get enough energy to drink, you have to tube them. And that means you stick a tube down their throat, give them the colostrum is what it's called that way. And then you have to put them back on the stupid sled. And by that time they have enough energy. So you have to tie them up or they'll just keep jumping out of it. And then you have to pull them back, find the same stupid cow that is their mom, and then make sure they get something to eat. And then you got to keep pretty close tabs on them for a couple of days if you warm them up, because I mean it doesn't get cold, doesn't get warmer outside. I mean there's
Right.
snow all. So I remember last year, I think I pulled over 50 calves, somewhere between 50 and 70, I bet, to the shop. But while we were calving, the coldest it got at my house was negative 77 degrees.
That is like death, man. That's so scary. That's scary for me to even think about that cold. Like that is so fucking cold, dude.
You would like trot on your horse, and the wind hitting your face would like suffocate you. Like it would freeze before it went down your throat. So you had to wear
Right.
one of these and put it up over your face, or you couldn't breathe. And like, I don't know, I ride all year round, so it doesn't matter if it's raining or snowing or cold or hot or anything. I ride and use dogs and stuff. Dogs
Right.
just help you move the cows around. They're trained to move cows. But yeah, and I don't have very many broke horses, so usually all the some bitches buck.
Which
I can't afford
that's so
I
scary
can't
too,
afford
because like you can get bucked off, like, because how many times do you think you've gotten like bucked off just in the have you gotten bucked off a lot like just in the last like couple years?
I had yeah so I bought this horse and it was supposed to be broke when I was up in Montana, and it's a fucking bronc. Like it's not broke, but Sydney tells me I need to shoot it or sell it, but I keep trying and I keep getting on it. And when we were in Medicine Boat just like 2 months ago, she bucked me off and I hit my head on a wood post.
Oh my God.
I was alone, but I woke up and it was like 4 hours later.
Yeah, see, that's insane, man. And that's usually what it is. Like, I've heard so many horror stories of people not making it because that happens and they're alone. And, like, you know, Wyoming, anywhere out there, good luck having service for one. And
Yeah,
two, like,
and nobody's gonna find you. Like
no.
I don't ever tell Sydney where I'm going. I just take off.
Right.
And for people that are listening, I guess Sydney's my wife, and she comes to work with me almost every day, but she doesn't ride as well as I do. So when I'm going really far, I go by myself, and
Right.
it's shit stupid. You shouldn't do it, because
No.
I get in wrecks all the time and
Right.
end up having a horse fall over and walking home, or
And
it's
God
just
knows, yeah, like where you're at. And it's just like where you're at, how far away you are from home and any help. 'Cause like there's not a hospital or an urgent care on every corner in Wyoming. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, from our house, it's 1 hour and 45 minutes to a hospital.
which is just like you're just knocking on death's door if anything major happens to you. You know what I mean? Just in the fact of an ambulance getting out to you in time to be able to save your life is playing such a dangerous game. So it just
Yeah.
almost, it makes it, it almost makes it, it's just like you really gotta, like, whatever you're dealing with, you gotta be completely dialed in, like, or else you're gonna get killed. Like, you're gonna
Yeah,
get killed. Like,
like
that's crazy out there. It's crazy out there. Next level cowboying, dude. It's not like you're over here in carefree on a big rich ranch where, you know, you still could have Scottsdale Fire out to you in 30 minutes. You know what I mean? That's, yeah. And that's like being, that's people in Wyoming would kill to have an ambulance anywhere, basically where they're out there, an ambulance be out there to them in 30 minutes. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, it's no game, dude. And like when I take off on a young horse, I think about it. Like,
right.
But you can't, quit
work,
doing it.
Work still got to get done. Like, it's just, yeah. It's an inherent risk it's an inherent risk that you got to, every time you get up on that horse where it's like, you know what it is. Like, that's the drill type of stuff. Like, yeah. It's just, but if you think about it, you're not going to cowboy as good. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And when that sucker hits the switch and goes to bucking, you better be all there because it might be a long walk home if he gets you on the ground.
Right. Because if that happens, like, they just take off or what?
Oh, I've had some that I hate a lot buck you off and then sit there and look at you. But that pissed off more than if they just run off. Because you're like, I can still hit you in the head with this rock, you son of a bitch.
But go into, because I've seen you, like, in how good you are. Like, it is a very, like, and I'm assuming it's been this way since you're a kid, since you've been around them. But kind of go into, like, building that, because you're like, with a horse, like, you're building a legit, like, relationship, like, working relationship and a bond with that horse. Like, I've seen you kind of, the stuff you had to do to, like, when we were riding, when you had me ride Buck that one day at your place, where you just kind of, like, fucked around with him, like, ran him around in circles a little bit, kind of, like, made sure, like, he was a little bit, at least, like, dialed in, so he wasn't gonna, like, how easily he could have just did some dumb shit with me on there and didn't, thank God, but, like, just kind of break down, like, all the stuff, like, that you do, like, with horses and, like, kind of, like, building that actual, like, legit bond. Because that's, like, that's a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've got 6 colts that I'm starting right now. And none of them were even halter broke when I got here. So that means they've never been around humans, never been touched, never been looked at. Like, somebody ran them in a corral one day and chased them in a horse trailer and delivered them to me.
Right.
And so you got to be real careful, because, like, they'll pen their ears back and come across the pen at you and paw you and kick you and try to bite you. Like, so it's all just working them around and slowly getting closer to them as time goes on. And your movement is what allows that. Like, you can't be too aggressive, but you darn sure don't want to make them think they can walk all over you. Like,
right.
You've got to set the boundary right out of the gate. And then it's just progressive over, like, I can take a horse from untouched, never seen a person before, to getting on its back and riding it outside by itself in dang sure that much in 30 days. 30 days working for it. I can.
In 30 days?
Yeah. Like, to the point where you can't, from not being able to touch it to saddling it, getting on it, taking off at a trot, and it rides fine.
And just, like, go, like, so what are some of the things that you got to do? Because, like, it is like, I've seen you do some of the stuff, like, it is like legit baby steps. Like, what are some of the stuff that you got to do? Like, it's basically like, you get, it's training wheels with them, dude. Like, for real. Like, they are such a strong, I mean, you saw me, dude, I was flipping out. Just, like, the raw power that those things have is,
yeah,
insane, dude. Like, and I don't, for people that haven't rode a horse, like, I love horses. I don't know, necessarily know if I'm, like, a horse boy myself, but, like, they are so fucking cool. Like, such cool animals, so smart. Like, you can train them so well. But, like, I remember when we were riding around your property, because horses can't walk uphill, right? Is that a real thing? Like, it's just too, it's not, like, depending on the grade, like, they just, it's not easy for them to walk uphill. So I remember we hit a dip on the bottom of your property that goes up into this, like, really long uphill. And I mean, Buck, as soon as we hit the bottom of that, they, both horses, you were right next to me, I mean, gunned it. And, like, if I was holding on to the reins any looser, I would have backflipped off of that fucking horse, dude. I mean, you saw me. I think I yelled. And then it just all the way up that fucking hill, dude, and flew. And I mean, flew. Dude, like, it's crazy the power that they have.
That horse was so strong. I sold him now, but But that horse that you rode that day, I'd roll 1,500-pound bulls and drag them in the trailer on that horse. Like it was nothing, just whammy, drag them right in the trailer. But
it's nuts, but yeah, just like some of the stuff that you got to do to kind of like dial them in a little bit.
It's all just showing them like exactly what you want and not taking any less than you want. Like horses are smart, but horses are also the laziest goddamn critter on planet Earth. If they find an easier way to do something, they're going to do it every single time. So the whole idea about training them is like find what you want them to do and make it easy. Like don't, if you've got to like correct them or get harsh on them, as soon as they do the right thing, then make it easy. Like,
right.
And they're always going to connect that to, oh, I did that and he made me run around and God, I'm tired. But then I did this and I stopped and now I get to sit here and breathe. They'll always remember that. Like,
right.
I did that and then I got to stop. Like, that's the whole, in short, it's a lot harder than that.
Right.
But that makes it sound easy.
But it's definitely showing them like a reward for them doing what you want them to do.
Yeah. Like if one bucks with me, you're not going to quit trot until we get to the corral. Like, I'm sorry. And you're going to be real tired when we get there. But a lot of times you'll saddle that prick up the next day and he's not going to buck.
Right.
You know? And I mean, you think about it. These things are 1,100 to 1,200 to 1,300 pounds.
So insane. They're that much weight too. It's so insane.
I do to that bastard is really gonna hurt it. Like they're gonna hurt me way before I hurt them.
Right. They're huge. Like they are huge, man.
Yeah.
And just all muscle too. They're all fucking muscle, man. Like you just see it in the way they walk around, just like the way like all their muscles just pulse. Like, dude, that's such a like light car. It's just a light car that can what's like some of the fastest speeds that horses can get up to?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I run a completely different type of horse, but like racing horses, they're fast.
Right.
But like I ride all quarter horses, so they're built to just be, you know, really quick, really athletic, like back and forth, not so much in a straight shot. But all my horses, like I roll 1,400-pound cows on them, bulls on them. I mean, anything. And like, if you don't think a horse is strong, rope a cow on it. Then tell me it's not.
Right.
Like,
God, dude, that's so wild. And just like, I guess like break it down too a little bit. Like, just there's so much like money in there, like around, like especially out there in Wyoming, dude. Like, just like from how like you've told me, just broken down stuff, just like how you've done like in the horse market, just like being able to like get to them, train them up a little bit, like flip them. Like it's almost like real estate, like in a way, like, dude, it is crazy. Like how that whole market works.
It is, man. I don't buy a horse for more than, well, right now it's up. I remember when I was in high school, you could buy a horse for $600 or $700, ride it for 30 days and sell it for 3,500 to $4,000. And now, like I'm buying most of my horses now for 2,500 to $3,000, but now I ride them for 2 years.
Right. Way bigger, way bigger, longer investment now.
And they get like gentle. Like my wife can crawl all over them. I mean, ride them around. She doctors calves on them. Like she ropes stuff on them and she's no Monty Walsh. Like she's not a great roper. She's getting better.
Who is that, by the way?
Oh, it's Tom Selleck. It's a Tom Selleck movie.
Oh, okay.
All you listeners, if you haven't watched Monty Walsh, you can download it on Amazon Prime and get to it.
Right? Yo, yes. Are you sponsored by Amazon Prime?
I don't know.
Maybe after this, if this podcast gets big enough, dude, maybe.
But yeah, I ride them for 2 years and then I sell them for 10 to 15,000.
I mean, that's like, it's until I talk to you and Thane, like all the people that like know like that side of that business, it's not like, it's something that I didn't even think about. You know what I mean? Like it's a whole different market that I didn't even think was a legit thing until I talked to you guys, which is nuts. You know what I mean?
But we're, t- talking about like peddling ranch horses. Like
Right.
these, they're not going to kill you. And if you want to go move cows or do something like that, they're going to be the best in the business. But
Right.
like we're talking about cowboy ranch horses, like the cutting
Right.
horses and the performance horses and stuff like that, they're way crazier. Like you're not going to touch a broke performance horse for less than 60 grand right now.
Oh my God, 60 grand for a horse, dude. I need 60 grand just to have 60 grand. Like, I can't
Yeah,
imagine like
I'd keep
blowing
that
60
sucker.
grand on a horse, but like that's also another thing too, where just I mean, like next, like there is so much money out in Wyoming, man. Like it is crazy. Like these people are just so fucking wealthy out there, dude. Like where I mean, just these mega ranches, like they don't give a fuck about blowing 60 grand. Like they need those like top tier horses and shit. You know what I mean? Like that's 60K for a horse. Like that's a legit, that's a luxury vehicle, man. It's a luxury
Yeah,
vehicle.
well, for us, yeah, it's
Right.
like drive the horses I buy are like driving a freaking Honda Civic. Like,
Good quality car. Gets you from A to B, does pretty good on gas. Get a couple of solid
yeah,
years out of it. I mean, what are we talking here?
but it's not a Lamborghini.
You're talking like buying a DeLorean for some
Okay, yeah,
like
that's
that.
what, yeah,
Like that,
but.
it's like that's crazy.
Yeah, these guys want like Ferraris or Lamborghinis or like the expensive high quality stuff. So guys like me have got to buy the old fixer uppers.
Right. But it's, I feel like you've gained so much from all the patience that you've dealt with horses. You know what I mean? Like there's probably so much that you've learned, like how much better of it's only going to make you like a better husband, a better father, just from the patience that you've learned from breaking in these animals. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause
Yeah.
you've probably ran into some bastards that you've had to deal with horse wise. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh yeah, and not to like joke around with people, but like you can't be nice to all of them. Like
no.
I've got two right now that I've tried to be nice as much as I can, but they buck and try to kill me every time I get on them. So now every time I get on them, I tie up a back leg and so they can't buck, and I snub the back leg all the way up there by their belly, and then I get on them and do whatever the hell I want up there. And
That's something that like someone that has no idea about your line of work and ranching in general. They have
oh,
no
horse.
idea. They have no idea like what goes into that. Like, 'cause they could be like, oh, like whatever, this or that or whatever. But it's just like until you have to like to where you own like a horse that is something that you bought and purchased, like to where you need to get work out of. People just won't understand, and that's whatever. Because it's just like if you're not in that direct line of work like you are, to where it's like this thing that you are working with and like basically forming that bond with could kill you at any second. So it's like if you don't dial that in, then you're in for like you're not going to be around for your wife and your kid. You know what I mean? So it's like that's just going to always that disconnect for people that don't know what goes into cowboying, that's always going to be there, I think. So
Yeah, and for me, like to buy a horse, it's a month of work. Like
right.
I make $3,000 a month. So if I buy a horse, that's 31 days of busting my ass.
Right.
I can't just turn around and send that thing to the sale and hope I get that my money back.
Right.
That's not an option. The only
No.
option is that I ride it and make it good and sell it to somebody for a boatload of money.
Right. And like I said, dude, that's I'm just super excited to see like 'cause I guess like and not to think too much in the future, but like what I guess like what is like the rough draft kind of plan? Like do you like want to at some point like own like your own ranch, if you ever get to that point, and like, well, I got where do you like, where's your plan, or where do you want to go with it? I guess, like, and it doesn't have to, it could be so far fetched. Just like, what's Shad Hep's like legitimate like dream down the line? Like, where would you like really, really want to be at in the future?
Well, that actually just hit a big reality with Sydney being pregnant. Like, 'cause I'm like, man, I don't want my kid to grow up just cowboying and moving all over the country, and I don't want to drag him around everywhere. So we're kind of getting that set in stone. We're talking to a couple of realtors. We're gonna try to buy a place. And what we're gonna try to buy is just ground. So
Okay.
we're looking at a couple 200, 300, 400 acre parcels in Wyoming. And then we're either gonna buy like a modular or stick build a house within the next 5 years probably.
Right.
And then I'll still work for the guy that I work for now until I don't. And to be honest with you, I don't have a plan there. It's
That's
just
all right.
I'll work for him as long as he takes it and keeps
Right.
treating me good.
Which is huge. I know you said that's huge in that field, because I know you've worked for a couple fucking jackasses in your time for sure. So,
and as soon as they start treating me bad, I walk out of the door, man.
right.
I'm not like,
You know what you bring to the table, dude.
yeah, I'm not gonna get treated like shit for you or anybody else, to be honest with you. But I don't know, within the next 5 years, I'd like to live in on a place bought and paid for, and you know, that I own.
Right.
And then start running cows and finding some lease ground and stuff. Yeah, I think darn sure in the next 10 years, I want to own at least 40 head of cows in a place.
That'll be so massive, dude. I'm excited to see like where it goes and how it turns out. And I guess just before we go, because I know you probably got to go pretty soon here, but I guess just like what's overall, just like kind of give a little bit of your advice just for, because I'm going to try to lean more into making it a little bit more fun and more of like a comedy, like way this podcast goes. That was always like my dream with it. But the way it's always kind of fell is just kind of been a little bit like more towards the mental health side, which isn't bad. I think a lot of people kind of get like a good necessary like little session from this that listen to it. And a lot of people that know me, I think they can kind of relate. But yeah, just kind of break down a little bit, just like overall advice and just like what you could tell before we sign off here, just like to anyone like going through it and just like to, I don't know, just maybe like some stuff that you've kind of done to battle through and to get through. 'Cause like I said, I've always looked up to you and how you've carried yourself. So just before we sign off, yeah, if you could just give some overall advice, real quick, that would be top tier, I think.
Well, first of all, anytime you want me back, you just let me know and we'll make it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely, dude.
If I had anything that I'd tell anybody, it's pretty simple, man. It's just don't fucking quit. Like if you think you're the only one sitting on the couch and you're sad and things are going bad and life sucks, first of all, get somebody to talk to.
Right.
But like you've got to your own way to get through that shit. Like, and everybody's is different. Nobody can tell you how to get over it. Nobody can tell you what to do. But you've got to fucking get past it. Like, get your head down. Try not to think about it. Go dig a 6 foot hole in the yard if you're pissed off. Like, I don't know. Just go work. Go do something. Go get your mind off of it. Go to the gym. Go work with the Colts. Go do whatever you need to do to get over it, because if you let that stuff build up, you're going to take it to home and then it's going to get 10 times worse.
Right.
So, or like go talk to somebody that actually knows what they're talking about. I don't
Right.
know.
Right.
It's, you got to keep going for you and for everybody else. Just put your head down and go to work. Because, like, now that I'm going to be a dad, I can't imagine giving up.
Right.
Like,
It's a whole different ball game now.
everything that I have is going to be for that kid. By the grace of God, he comes out and he's healthy and it's a boy. That'd be cool. But either way, like everything I have is, you know, going to be for my wife and kids.
Right. Well, yeah, sounds good, dude. No, I agree with that for sure. But no, dude, thank you for hopping on, man. I appreciate it. I'll give you a FaceTime after we wrap up. But dude, thank you so much for hopping on. I can't wait to have you again, dude. I love you to death. Super proud of you. And I definitely can't wait to have you on again, dude. Thanks for hopping on.
Hey, you bet, man. Don't get too warm in Arizona. If you
I'll
do,
try.
come follow me.
I will. I'll come bother you real soon, dude. Thank you again, man.
All right, take care, brother.
Yep, later.
Bye.